Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Bellingham podcast. We hope this message will be informative, inspirational, and helpful. Donations to support this work are greatly appreciated. Visit www.cslbellingham.org and click on the donate button. Remember to share our podcast. Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning. My name is Kit Zinn, and Ronna Biggs and I are your practitioners this morning. Please do, if you have not silenced your phone, please consider doing that at this time. And also, just a little blurb, a reminder that we do offer prayer support from the Practitioner Corps, both from the prayer vessel right at the back of this room and also on the website at any time. Thank you. Oops. Oh. Let's just take a deep breath, actually out. Because instinctively that allows us to receive, knowing that there is only one source of everything, of life, light, power, health, abundance. Nothing exists separate from this one source of everything. And knowing for myself, I know for myself, as everyone here, and welcome everyone, to be in harmony with that one. For this is the place that we reside. It resides within us. And thankfully, according to the message of inspiration this morning, that I know each of us has come with open hearts and open minds, for that message in which Spirit speaks to each of us in a language, in a mode that we can understand. So it is that perspective, that special time. And I think possibly part of Dr. Andrea's talk this morning on the pathless path, to me that brings comfort and a sense of communion with the One. And I trust and know that this is a place of discovery and acceptance and joy with ease this morning. So welcome again to CSL Bellingham. And together we can reaffirm, and so it is.
We're in the middle of a wonderful time. There's a pencil. This will bother people on this side, so hang on. The topic for the month is Enter and Be Not Afraid. So you're hearing a lot of music and a lot of speaking about letting something more come. And today is the pathless path, is the topic. And, I have to come up with these titles like months ahead. And so often they're like this. It's like, I'll say that and then I can say whatever I want. Because what does that mean, actually? But I wanted to bring you a poem because this is what I'm thinking it means today. It's by an incredible poet called Lynn Unger. And it's called The Path. So follow along here. Life, the saying goes is a journey. And who could argue with that? We've all experienced the surprising turns, the nearly impassable swamp, the meadow of flowers that turned out not to be quite so blissful and benign as we first thought, the crest of the hill where the road smoothed out and sloped toward home. Our job, we say, is to remain faithful to the path before us, which is an assumption as common as it is absurd. Really? Really? Look ahead. What do you see? If there is a path marked out in front of you, it was almost certainly laid down for someone else. The path only unfolds behind us. Our steps themselves laying down the road. You can look back and see the signposts, the ones you followed and the ones you missed. But there are no markers on the road ahead. You can tell the story of how you forded that stream or got lost on the shortcut that wasn't, how you trekked your way to courage or to a heart But all of that comes after the fact. There is no road ahead. There is only the walking, the tales we weave of our adventures, and the songs we sing to call our companions on. Isn't that beautiful? And perceptive. because, you know, if you really think about it, Joseph Campbell used to talk a lot about the Knights of the Round Table. He was a great storyteller and mythologist. And so he told the tale of the Knights of the Round Table being sent out by King Arthur to find the Holy Grail. And the instructions were, I wrote them down, enter the forest at the darkest point where there is no path. Where there is a way or path, it is someone else's path that has already come this way. If you follow someone else's path, you're not going to find the grail. And he changed it later as he was talking to people, saying, if you follow someone else's path, you're not going to realize your own truth. So the pathless path is about this idea that actually, for you and for me, the path that we're walking and creating step by step comes out of our past, not out of our future. And that's an interesting point, you know, because, of course, in the science mind land, we're all about creating intention and visioning and seeing, you know, what could be possible, which is all great. But the path itself is walked from a different place. And it's a place that, for me, I think of it as the maps that I've created or the charts that I've created out of my own discovery of my own true north. Our theme for the year is your soul's compass. And we have an understanding that every individual has a true north, a place that when they're in that place and moving from that place, they are completely and fully themselves and alive, awakened in who they are and what's to be. And so this true north becomes very important, especially in those times. I'm not sure if any of you are there, but in times where there's difficulty or there's hardship, because true north often asks us to live from a different place than society. You may have noticed, you know. And so a lot of our early years, like I don't know how teen years were for you, but a lot of those years from the time I was probably awake enough to realize that other people were judging me, you know, what, 8, 9, all the way. there was this, especially in the teen years, this trying to figure out where I fit in. And, you know, I would try this group. Yeah, I was in drama. It was great. But, and then I'd go over here and go, okay, I'll be in Key Club. Oh, way too intellectual. Okay, I'll go over here and I was trying to find where I fit in. And that included my sexuality, that included my way of seeing the world. I had been moved with my family when I was 15 from Berkeley to Georgia. And so there was a lot of like, wow. My first day of school, I came early because I didn't exactly know where everything was going to be. And the drill team was out on the front lawn, all 45 of them, doing popcorn. Remember that song? Deet, 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 with very precise movements, which in Berkeley would have been like laughed at. And here it was like everybody was like, oh. So there was some, you know, where do I fit? But it doesn't have to be that drastic. I'm sure you asked the same question and maybe still are. and so it's important to understand that where we fit doesn't have anything to do with anybody else. where we fit has to do with our true north, who we are, who we came to be in this lifetime. And that's a pathless path when we start out, because there's, if we follow other people's ideas of who we are and what we should be doing, we're likely to end in that, what she call it, that almost impassable swamp. Anybody be in that swamp? Yeah, I've been there. And so we have to kind of pull back at some point and look back at the things we've tried, and also pay attention to the places where we were lit up, where we were luminous, where we were so alive that joy just broke out from us, those places. Because they were there too. It's just that in the angst of the moment, sometimes those places are lost. And one of my favorite people who talks about those luminous places is a woman named Maria Nemeth. And she's written a couple of books. They're old now, but she makes an incredible point, so I thought I'd read it to you. It's actually just a visualization on a chapter called Being Luminous. So just imagine, just close your eyes if you're comfortable, and imagine that you're stopping for a moment and turning around to look back on your own path. You see that all along it are strung beautiful round paper lanterns, the kind that people hang on trees during the summer. Each one casts a golden glow that illuminates a part of your trail. As you continue to look back, you see that whether the sky was a royal blue or gray or overcast, these lanterns shone nevertheless. Sometimes fog settled in, but you could still see the warm light from each globe. Consider that each lantern represents a luminous moment where you found yourself. Those moments are there. But often, you know, in the hustle and bustle of trying to fit in, we lose track of those luminosity moments, those places where we were most truly grounded in who we are and who we've come to be. And so, you know, I asked myself the question, well, what gets in the way? And so I've brought you a slide from a book, Don't Get Tripped Out by the Circle of Spells. That's a terminology that Mary O'Malley uses in her book, What's in the Way is the Way. And what she means by spells is ego spells, spells that we believed about ourselves and then acted as though those were true and couldn't see our way out of them. So it's an appropriate word. So it starts with two fundamental spells that early on in our childhood we sort of start to feel. The first is, I'm separate. Well, in a way, that makes sense. You know, we're in the womb, and all of a sudden, we're out of the womb, and whoa, where'd that go? Where'd that warm, comfortable place go? But also, we begin to realize that the giants in our life that are the caregivers are separate from us, and that they won't always come when we call and need something. So we start going, I'm separate. And then we begin to feel like life is not safe because we don't have anybody taking care of us sometimes. And as children, we then move with that idea, life is not particularly safe. And often, you know, it's reinforced by accidentally, not even on purpose sometimes, by the adults of our life. You know, stop, look, and listen before you cross the street. Don't talk to strangers. Look at this milk carton. It has a lost child on it, you know. And pretty soon we're like, oh, God, this place is not safe, you know. And so what do we do with that? Well, all sacred humans have to figure that part out. And a lot of times there's decisions that are made that in the short run make us feel a little bit better, but don't work in the long run. So the first one is, I must control life. And so we try to, you know, make sure that everything is as it should be in our life. We make sure, for some people it goes this way. Maybe not you, but some people go, I'm going to get all A's in every subject, no matter how hard it is, because that way I'm in control of where I get to go to college. And this is when you're six. Okay? And then other people go a different way where it's like, I'm going to control life by being completely nasty and naughty all the time so that no one can figure me out. Don't raise your hand if you're one of those. there's a lot in this audience. So then I must control life. Sometimes we then go to, I must do it right. And when you come to CSL Bellingham, sooner or later you're going to hear a catchphrase that I brought from a friend of mine. This is a perfection-free zone. Have you heard that? Yeah. Well, that's because of this one. Because what does right mean? I must do it right. And what I would love it to mean, in this, especially given this talk, is that you live from your truest sense of self. But that's not what that means in the spell. What it means is I'm going to conform even if it kills me so that I look like I'm doing this thing right. And then, of course, that leads to I'm not doing it right because you can't. There is no right for everybody. There's only your own true moral compass, your true north, and everybody else. And yeah, there's similarities, like, you know, the golden rule shows up in every single philosophy and faith. So yes, there's standards. But unfortunately, fairly early on, we begin to feel like, I can't do this right. I don't know what right is. I can't do it. I keep trying. And therefore, I must be wrong. And a lot of people then, for the whole of their life, if they don't come to a place like this, think, I'm wrong. There's something wrong with me. I can't do it right. There's something wrong with me. And therefore, I can't be loved. I'm not lovable because I'm not doing it right. I'm doing it wrong. Do you follow this? And maybe you've actually been caught in one of these spells or more. And so then, ultimately, because I'm not lovable, I'm all alone. And the all-alone thing is terrifying for sacred humans. We're not meant to be alone. We're herd animals, essentially. And we long for and need, truly need, community. And so, you know, one of the things that the science mind is really good at is reminding us that actually we're never alone, that there is something that dwells within us as us that is constantly, forever, working through us and with us. And that's so not satisfying when you feel lonely. You know, it's like, yeah, tell me about the presence, whatever. I feel lonely. And so, you know, I remember hearing a story from Martha Beck, who's a real famous author and teacher. And Martha was pregnant with one of her children. And she woke up in the middle of the night and the bed was wet. She had the baby there. And she checked the baby thinking, okay, the diaper leaked. And no, the diaper was dry. So she went into the bathroom and she was covered in blood. And she'd had a placental rupture. And so they didn't have 911 back then. So she called the University Health Center because she is a professor. And they said, well, you need to have an ambulance come right away, or you need to get to the ER. Well, she was so weak, she passed out. And when she woke up, she was kind of in and out of this incredible, because you can die from this. You just bleed out. So she's dying, basically. And she's kind of woozy, and she thinks to herself, okay, pray for the child, pray for the baby. And so she starts asking for help for the baby. And she said, all of a sudden, she felt as though she was surrounded by a presence that was with her and for her. And she tried in her mind to go, well, is this like a, what is this, like a guardian angel or something? And it didn't fit for her. The best she could think of was friend. That there was this invisible friend. And, of course, she survived and wrote lots of books. But it's that kind of not-aloneness that's important to understand and know and actually maybe look back with the luminous globes and see if you can ever feel a time when the friend was there, the presence was there. Because if we have a reference point, then when we hit those places where we feel very alone, we can call in awakened remembering, and then usually there is help. Sometimes it's in the form of these sort of more extra beings, but a lot of times when I call for help, it's amazing what happens. People show up just sort of randomly and are offering help. Reverend Deborah did that to me the other day. Do you need help? I'm like, yes. So the spells that hold us are actually all false. But it takes a long time to kind of escape from those ideas long enough to see that there's a different possibility. And the different possibility is actually what I started with, which is we were each brought here to be a unique contribution into the world. You notice I didn't say do. It has nothing to do with doing. It's being. Thich Nhat Hanh used to say, to be or not to be is not the question. I love that line. It's actually, you know, to discover our true north and to live from that place. What begins to happen if we trust it and we keep walking in that direction is we have a life that we love being in. And that's what I want, and that's what I want for you. And so I'll do a prayer for that, and then we'll close for the day. So join me in knowing that as I speak this word for myself, if you want this prayer activated for you, just say yes inside yourself. So I know and accept that there actually is an energy, a divine energy, if you want to call it that, an energy that is flowing through all things, that has brought forward into creation all things, that did not leave its creations alone, but rather is present, active, moving in each of us, in me, in you, in everything. This presence is seeking by means of me to be brought out into the world uniquely by the configuration of this sacred human's understanding and life. And so I understand that I have a place here, that I belong here, that this was no accident that I showed up in this historical time frame surrounded by these people. No, indeed, I am meant to be here. I belong. And because I belong, I accept that I have full permission from this divine source to be my truest self, for that is where my contribution lies. And so I am. I choose that. Every moment I ask myself, is this my truth? Am I living from the highest and the best, knowing that I've accomplished thus far? As I look back on my path, illuminated by those moments where I was most truly myself, am I living from that luminous place? Yeah, I know it can't happen all the time, but I call in now the understanding that it can happen most of the time, that I can live from this place, speak from this place, love from this place, work from this place, and that from this place, I bring forward into the world exactly what is needed by means of me. I have a place, I belong, my truth is important to the whole, and so I'm grateful for remembering this and living from this place. And I'm grateful that you do the same. And so it is.